The book of Ecclesiastes is one book that helps us to face and engage in life in all its realities. The parts of life we love, and also the parts of life we might be inclined to avoid. The strong consensus of scholarship is that the book ends with the author describing our demise in old age, and then ending how the author began, "Vanity of vanity, all is vanity." Everything wisps away, life can't be grasped, controlled or cheated, and death comes for us all. The implicit question being, how will we spend our lives? Will we spend them living, becoming aware of the good around us? Will we spend them alive to the people around us, the gifts, the places, the food and the drink that we are so privileged to live with and to enjoy and share with others generously? Perhaps the book of Ecclesiastes was understood as a deeply spiritual, deeply philosophical book, but it seems it needed an afterword and epilogue to have it included in Israel's canon. We'll never know for sure, but whether a disciple or a literary editor, this is the voice of someone who is trying to explain and interpret. So in that sense, it's very beautiful, because it's the voice of anyone attempting to take the message seriously. The words of Scripture invite all of us to wrestle and contemplate, to be inspired and molded by the Creator of everything around and beyond us, our living God. Our separate and shared stories impact and enrich our lives. It's how we build friendship, fellowship, and communion. Jesus himself used his stories and parables to invite and challenge the views and assumptions of his listeners. Often, a parable would be met with shock, astonishment, chins dropping to the ground in disbelief, and yet some people would hear these parables and be changed by them. Yet more people would hear them and experience the love of God breaking through into their situation. The primary target audience in our gospel message this evening is clear. Jesus told this parable for people who were overconfident, let's say, in their own sense of righteousness. In this case, the Pharisees. In the Gospels, the Pharisees often get a bad rap. But in the Pharisees' defense, they were highly religious people who attempted to be meticulous in their liturgical and religious practice. And this is absolutely not a bad thing. When I was preparing this sermon, I came across an interesting word. Let me see if I can say this right. Pharisaism. When I say Pharisaism, I am not talking about the Jewish people or Judaism. I am talking about an archetypal human tendency to codify, solidify, and become narrow thinkers. Pharisaism is not about a particular people or a particular religious tradition. It's a human condition that affects all people and all traditions at one time or another. And it is as real today as it was in Jesus' time. Pharisaism is the mother of all profiling. Profiling is what happens when we look at the outside of another human and then draw conclusions and judgments about their hearts, their minds, and their way of being. Looking through that lens has a way of drawing us toward conclusions and judgments that can devalue, strip the dignity, and deny another person's worth as one of God's beloved and treasured creations. Just this past week, I learned of a man two provinces over who, as one of the prominent anti-vaccination, anti-restriction activists, is now very ill with COVID-19. I couldn't help but gloat and feel a little smug and justified upon finding out this man's condition. After all, he flouted public health measures, protested in large group gatherings against vaccinations, and spread what can only be called as dangerous conspiracy theories. But the conclusions and judgments I drew about this man were always in my favor and always against him. And isn't that what the Pharisee is doing to the tax collector in today's gospel? God, I thank you that I am not like other people, thieves, rogues, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. The truth is, we all have a little tendency to other people sometimes, and when we do, we can lose our compassion and mercy. And then we cannot see the others as our neighbors. The Pharisee in our gospel is seeing only the outside of the tax collector. The Pharisee has no idea about the tax collector's fears, hopes, dreams, aspirations, pains, and struggles. The Pharisee has no idea that he and the tax collector just might be a little more alike than he knows or wants to believe. Even as I make these statements about the Pharisee this evening, I fully recognize that I am doing to the Pharisee what the Pharisee is doing to the tax collector. I recognize myself in the Pharisee and the Pharisee in me. The Pharisee in today's gospel isn't a bad person. He isn't wrong or worse than the tax collector. He's afraid of losing power, status, and a fairly comfortable lifestyle. So he justifies himself. And we all do that from time to time. When we depart from here this evening, and indeed always, may our prayer be that the Christ in me see and honor the Christ in you, and the Christ in you see and honor the Christ in me. Amen.